Blog Talk Radio.
United States, and prayers go out, by the way, to the people of lovely Nashville, Tennessee, from that devastated tornado that went through the area. Hope everyone's doing fine. Hope, I know that there are like 28 people reported dead, and there's maybe missing and hurt, so prayers go out to them. In the meantime, thank you for tuning into the Clown Hour. It's Scott Burks. I am the creator of sports ball called The Clown Times. And of course, the podcast component of said blog, and this Clown spelled with a K, by the way, you can find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you can also find me on Twitter as well, whether you're on your smartphone, laptop, desktop, wherever you are. Just go to the search window and type in The Clown Times. Again, that's Clown spelled with a K, and you can find me there as well, guys. We got a little bit to get into. We're going to mostly focus on the upcoming Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder 3, since Wilder has reportedly invoked that rematch clause. I don't know why it is going to get his ass kicked again, but at any rate. And we're also going to give our opinions on which NFL team would be best for one Tom Ass Brady if he decides to leave the New England Patriots. So anyway, help me break that down. It's my partner, know y'all him from the yard, slash HMCU Sports. It reps about all things HBCU sports, as well as Sleazy Radio on Facebook Live with his crew. Once again, this is my man, Dwayne Nash, in the house. How you doing, sir?
Scott, what is going on?
Oh, man. A very mild Wednesday, and a very mild winter, as a matter of fact. So I'm not complaining. We haven't had any snow here, believe it or not. We had one major snow day. By me, as a major, I mean like maybe 4 or 5 inches tops, and it certainly melted that same day. So, you know.
Well, you guys did better than what we did here in the nation's capital. We didn't get anything this winter, flurries at that. So yeah, there hasn't been any snow in the area of the entire winter. I'm knocking on wood as of right now, because there has been situations where there's snow here in March, but I doubt that happens, man. And today was, like you said, it was very beautiful here in the nation's capital. You know, the sun was out, you know, ladies walking around looking real nice, you know, the temperature was nice and right in the mid to upper 60s here. So it was a nice and beautiful day here, man.
Bigger, Cincinnati, Ohio, at least. We normally get copious amounts of snow. We had the damn Arctic blast, or whatever the hell you call it, last year. But basically, we had a day where it was in the minus like digits, and like a wind chill one day last year. And yeah, my stupid ass went to work, even though I was bundled up and the old thermal underwear and everything. It was like, it was a cold I have not experienced ever in my life. So I'm thankful for this mild ass winter. The rain can come as much as it wants. Well, I care, as long as you don't get any stupid snow and ice, which is worse. So Yeah, so I'm enjoying it, brother. I am enjoying this mild winter in Cincinnati, Ohio. Speaking of mild, that's going to be – that's it won't be a mild ass whipping when it comes to the upcoming Deontay Wilder fight. So you heard that your favorite Bama, as you like to call him, Deontay Wilder,
yeah.
Who's actually from Alabama.
He is from Alabama, makes him even more.
Yeah, from Tuscaloosa.
Yeah,
so he's a old tide. But he exercised his right to a third fight against Tyson Fury, and which is scheduled to happen on July 18th in the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. So, I don't know if you remember last time, man, we talked about this. I was hoping, praying that Fury would fight one Anthony Joshua to unify the belts. They're both British dudes. They're both badasses. Well, actually, Fury's more of a badass than Joshua, but that's not a here or there. But the point is that we both salivated at the notion of two British dudes unifying the World Heavyweight Championship belt. I mean, you know that would have come in a lot of money. But instead, your favorite Bama, Deontay Wilder, instead of taking a couple of fights to get to rethink his fight strategy, he had to get his ass whooped again. He can't stand Tyson Fury. So why should we expect this? Why should I expect this fight to go any different from the first fight?
You know what? I don't even know if you should. that's the thing, man, you know. He's doing this the way it seems to me, out of anger. He's angry that first fight. Ended in a draw, even though there are a lot of people who believe that it shouldn't have been a draw. It actually, if not for the two knockdowns, probably would have gone in Fury's favor. Then, of course, the second fight, he gets pummeled. So, yeah, he's upset, and he wanted to go ahead and in my opinion, do something to try to figure out a way and to better himself to fight Fury in the future. And to go ahead and get some other fights under his belt before Tyson Fury decided to go ahead and invoke that clause. Now, my guess is that, you know, it's a possibility he may be afraid that he may not be able. I mean, he has the clause, but it may not be as big of a draw later than to do it now, because it's a possibility he fights someone else and gets beaten there. So you have to take that into consideration, too, but I'm with you. Until he shows me better, I don't believe he's going to give me better. So my guess is that he's going to hope that he lands one and just catches him off guard and knocks him out, when I don't think that happens.
I agree with you, because one thing, this couple of things that he did was suspect. For one, he went from firing the trainer who threw in the towel to, like, not firing him. Talking to him. So, mind you, the trainer who threw in the towel, he's a decorated fighter. I think he was an Olympic gold medal and the world championship holder, title holder at one point. So, if anything, he should fire those two clowns, other clowns in his corner, who claimed that he thought that he should have fought it out. When he was obviously getting pummeled, he obviously couldn't defend himself. He obviously was getting his ass kicked. I mean, I don't know. I just don't. I mean, look, I understand the guy has pride. Pride, we all have pride, right? Especially us dudes.
Exactly.
Right? You know, the thing is, but you know what they say, pride go up before the fall. And, you know, this dude is headed for not only a fall, he's headed for like a curb stomper when his head hits the ground, because I don't see this dude changing. This dude seems defiant. I mean, he believes that he was using that bullshit excuse about wearing all that Wakandan armor they was wearing. First of all, if you're over the age of 12 and you still wear costumes, you're a loser. I'm sorry. You should give up costumes when you're past the age of 12. You're a grown-ass man. Act like it. I'm an adult. I don't wear shit to Halloween parties. I come as myself, an angry black dude. That's where I come at. Maybe costume party. Because I don't see the point of that shit. If you're an adult, don't wear a costume. I don't know why that shit is so hard for people to understand. Don't walk in there like a Bama with all that. What the hell is he thinking?
I have no idea what he thought he was doing.
I would come to N-word. Come to N-word like, what is the N-word doing? He's walking out there. I'm like, what is he doing? And he was all poor and sweat when he took his thing off, when he stood his ass up in the ring. I'm like, that fool tired. Who went out that damn armor? Come on, dude. Nah. You're an adult. Wearing costumes. But anyway, that's not here or there. But the point is that I just don't see it. I just do not see this dude improving unless he has a come to Jesus moment with his trainers, unless he knows something that we don't know. I mean, If dude gets in trouble, you know where it goes, man. He's gonna revert back to bad habits and going back to what he knows. Throwing that one punch, looking for that one blow. But he's against a dude who's not only bigger than him, but more of a boxing tactician. He's very technically sound, and, you know, it shows. But there's one thing I did hear. I heard that Floyd Mayweather said that he would not only come with offer to train him, but give him tips, like tidbits on how to fight and not get hit, because we all know that Floyd is a master of not getting hit.
Yes.
Right?
And that's the thing, right? That's why I find that interesting, and not necessarily in a good way, because the way Dante Wilder is as a fighter, no, I said fighter and not boxer, the way that he is as a fighter, he likes to bully his opponent and try to hit you with the knockout blow. Being a defensive boxer, the way that Floyd Mayweather is, doesn't necessarily suit Wilder well. And I don't know if that's something that you can just learn in a couple of months and have yourself prepped heavyweight championship title fight. I just don't see it. I don't see it. So even if somehow, some way Floyd does become involved in working this dude out, I don't know if that style will mesh well with what we know works well with Wilder, which is, of course, being the aggressor. So, I don't know, dude. That's why I'm thinking, and I said it already, that calling for this rematch this early within the same calendar year is just entirely too soon, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm like, as soon as I heard about the rematch clause, I'm like, if this dude has any sense about him, he'd go back in the lab for a while, stay in the lab, and fight maybe one or two guys, no more than two, and just in the hope that Fury wins whatever fights he pick up. That it could be a trilogy, and it could be like a one-loss fighter, Deontay, going up against still the heavyweight champion of the world. Like, just imagine this scenario, right? Imagine a scenario where Fury were to fight Joshua and beat Joshua, unified belt. Because if Joshua were to beat Fury, you know, we all know that Joshua is afraid of Wilder. I'm coming out and say it, he's afraid of Wilder. He was running from him for a long time. And, you know, the chicken's from home the roost when he got beat by Ruiz in that first fight. So so that's why I'm not counting that. So basically, if you were to unify the belt with one over Joshua, Wilder wins two fights against two really good fighters, right? That sets up a perfect trilogy. Duke will be looking to avenge his only professional loss, to try to not only regain the championship, but to regain all, to be the baddest man in the world, essentially. That's what would have been my ideal scenario. But instead, he opted for the he exercised the rematch clause, which was, and it's every right to do. He's bound to make a lot of money except that the 60-40 would be split toward Theory because, of course, he's the champion. Yeah. So I don't know. I just wish that Wilder wouldn't take the fight. I just wish he wouldn't. But
and that's the other thing too. To your point on him taking this fight too early, there's no build up for this. None.
Right.
I mean, we just legit just seen him get waxed. I don't know if as many people are going to be interested in three now, seeing what we just saw a couple of weeks ago. Because everyone's going to think that, or probably have the same thought process that we have, that what has changed in Wilder. Then you also got to look at the people who stole the fight, you know, in terms of watching it. So that, of course, cuts into your pay-per-view buys. So you have reduced amount of people watching the fight. You have those cutting into it by illegally streaming the fight.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers are going to go down. So it's just all up. This is all just hurting this entire situation in my eyes. And I don't know if there will be as much interest this go round. I just don't. The thing that I thought would boost the interest is being ruined by how quickly they're having this fight now. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why.
Look, again, I know he has pride. I know he wants to do his best to, like, right what was wrong in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. He's going to get his ass beat again. And let's just hope he doesn't wear that big-ass costume next time.
Anyway, what I really want to, he's about to hit free agency. You know, people are talking, you know, would he stay? Would he going to stay in New England? Would he go elsewhere? There are, like, supposedly, what, 8 teams outside of New England who are very interested in the services, namely the likes of the Chargers, the Raiders, the Colts, amongst others. But I'm gonna start things off. I'm like Colin Cowherd. I was listening to him earlier today. He inspired me by having like the Brady punch, where he takes a guess at where he will end up, where Brady will end up. So I won't call that because Colin Cowherd called that first, and secondly, he might get my ass for copyright infringement. And I ain't got that kind of money, so we're going to play a guessing game, right? So I'll start off, man. I think the best place for Tom Brady would be the Tennessee Titans.
Mm.
Get this out. But Tennessee is coached by Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vrabel played in second half of his career in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And most of his spent both his career in New England with Tom Brady. They both know the Belichick system.
Mm-hmm.
Both have skills. Like basically, Tom wouldn't have to worry about a new system because it's similar to what it has in New England.
Mm-hmm.
They have a damn offensive line. Talking about personnel, they have a great offensive line. They have a damn good. They have an awesome running game with Derrick Henry. You know, he's like they say he's 6'4", but people say he's more 6'5", 6'6". And he can run. Obviously, he can run like crazy. So. And he has decent weapons at wide receiver. They're underrated, but they're decent. And the defense is pretty damn good too. So, and also they'll be in a winnable division. Imagine going up against the likes of Jacksonville and Indianapolis and Houston twice a year. And even though Houston has won Deshaun Watson, I don't respect any team coached by Bill O'Brien. So that's how I feel about that. So basically, it's either Tennessee, with a second with the runner up being maybe the Colts, because the Colts have a great offensive line, in Tennessee. They have good skill position players, young players. They got a good running game. They got a good hellified defense. And they're $50 million plus under the cap, so there's that. So they'll be able to improve about busting up the roster, so to speak. So those are my top two. Tennessee being the top one, with Indianapolis being a close second.
Now, if I have three teams that I'm looking at, right? And these are teams if he does not go back to New England. And oddly enough, two of which are two teams that you named, but I'm going from, you know, third to first in terms of my order, how I see it. The number three team would be the Tennessee Titans for the exact same reasons why you said that offensive line. They have a very good young core of skilled players. The two things that concern me, one, that defense. You like that defense? I'm not necessarily a huge fan of that defense. I've seen that defense get points racked up on them, mainly by, of course, the Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Like you said, that division isn't that strong. It's not as weak as the AFC East, but it's also not the AFC North. So, you know, it will be to his benefit to be in that division, but I'm not necessarily a huge fan of that defense. And also, Derrick Henry is a free agent, and you know he's going to be asking for a lot of money. So the thing is, will they have the money to sign both Tom Brady and Derrick Henry? Because I think if Derrick's not there, then it's going to be problematic. And then there's also another gentleman who Tom wants to play alongside, and I'll get to him in just a moment. But yeah, like I said, Tennessee's my number three. My number two, oddly enough, is also the Indianapolis Colts, just like you. Like you said, they have a talented and young skill position guys out there. That running game that a lot of people sleep on is actually relatively good. They also have T.Y. Hilton, which gives them a prime target out there in terms of passing. That O-line is great. Like you said, that defense is still young. They have a strong young nucleus there that can get to the ball relatively quickly. I like that defense in the Colts. The thing is, they'll be a year older, meaning they'll be a year in that system. Hopefully they get a little bit better. The addition of Tom Brady, you know, helps that defense out a little bit better. Of course, it's an upgrade from Jacoby Brissett, especially from what we saw in the latter half of that season for the Indianapolis Colts. My number one choice, though, because I think the main thing that's going to be beneficial for whoever, not beneficial, but the thing that this team needs to have wherever Tom goes, meaning that Tom is going to be playing in a very small window, meaning he's not going to be there for a very long time. That means this team has to be Super Bowl ready now. It can't be no development. You know, you can't wait for younger guys to get ready. You need this team to be as close to Super Bowl ready as possible. And barring a lot of injuries that they had this past season, and a lot of the games that they had this past season were losses of 7 points or less, plus they dealt with a lot of injuries, like I just said, I think, if you're capable of bringing Derwin James back, and if you're capable of convincing Ingram to stay, if you send Tom Brady out to L.A. to be with the Chargers, I think that would be a phenomenal place for him. You go ahead, like I said before, they have skill position guys out there. They have the running backs out there. Derwin James comes back and bolster that defense again. And you have that leadership of Tom Brady. You don't have a guy, as much as I love Philip Rivers, Rivers is very Brett Favre-esque in terms of being a gunslinger, and he doesn't necessarily mind risking. He's a very high-risk, high-reward passing game. You know, he'll take those chances and potentially throw an interception, and then later on attempt to come back out there and lead a touchdown drive and end up beating you. The thing is, Tom don't turn the ball over as much. So that's the one thing that'll be favorable for them to have that, and they already have, in my opinion, a team that is very close to stay healthy. So those are my three right there. I think my outside outside team that makes sense would probably, no. You know what? Because all the other teams, I don't know necessarily the Raiders are into it as much as people say. I don't think the Buccaneers are into it as much as people say. I don't think that the Giants' name has been tossed out there. But
that shit ain't going to happen.
And that's not going to happen either, because that's going to be a lot of development and a lot of addition. But the one thing that I'm going to find interesting is to see if, and that's if, wherever Tom Brady ends up, of course, the name Antonio Brown has been attached to him as well, because he's been having this ongoing relationship with AB. He's been telling him to, you know, keep his head together and get right, and he would love to play with him. The thing is, wherever he goes, they're going to have to convince them to sign him and deal with whatever type of punishment that he's going to have to deal with. But that might be interesting if he can get it together, man. But it's going to take a head coach that's going to be able to control him the way that Tomlin did. And the thing is, I don't know if there are many coaches out there in the NFL that can do that.
Right. Right. I agree. I totally agree. You know what, man? So you're saying that you gave a lot of teams. You put a lot of teams out there. So I'll say this. One thing that we both had been discussed, what do you think about all these rumors of him going to the Cowboys? Because y'all know that Jerry Jones loves some attention, loves to get talked about, and they're embroiled in a contract dispute with Dak Prescott. They're about to franchise him. You know that players hate the franchise tag, and plus Brady will be younger. Will be cheaper, a lot cheaper than Dak because he's much older. So what do you think about that rumor?
You know what? I would hate to have to face Tom Brady twice a year. I'll go ahead and put that out there, being a Skins fan. The thing is, though, you know, Randall Cobb is a free agent. Amari Cooper is a free agent. I think one of their old linemen is a free agent. Sean Lee is a free agent. Not to say that they will necessarily miss Sean, because Sean has been absent for some time anyway. But, of course, him being there healthy is a benefit. The thing is, depending upon what this coaching staff does and whether or not – and see, that's the other thing, too. This is why, as fun as this game is, trying to figure out where Tom's going to go, the one thing that Tom might not like is dealing with OTAs and having to learn a whole new playbook. So that means wherever he goes, if it's new – he might have to show up and do something he might not want to do. And I find it interesting that Giselle's name, his wife, her name has been thrown around in terms of what she might like for him to do. You know, it's kind of a head scratcher, but it is what it is, because, you know, they are attached to him, and being that they are husband and wife. But to fully answer your question, interesting to throw that out there. The same way it's interesting to say that the San Francisco 49ers would be of interest to him as well. I just don't see it for a couple of reasons. And that defense, one, and two, that him having to learn a whole new playbook along with not necessarily having any wide receivers on that roster as of right now. I don't know. Excuse me, what the Cowboys are dealing with financially and whether or not they'll be able to bring those guys back. But that O-line, is it what it once was over the past couple of years? Their play is starting to diminish. So they're going to need somebody to block for him, and he's most definitely going to need some skill position guys to play alongside him. That's why I'm a little iffy on Dallas, but that's not to say that Jerry wouldn't be interested in attempting to sign him. So,
oh, yes, he would. Yes, he would. Because we all know that he's – Jerry Jones is the modern-day Barnum and Bailey. You know what I'm saying? P.T. Barnum, rather. You know, he loves the show. He loves the show. He doesn't care about fucking up team chemistry, because Remember, this is the same dude who signed T.O., Terrell Owens, against the wishes of Bill Parcells. You know, he went ahead and signed him anyway because, damn it, he wants the notoriety. He wants. They say he wants to win, but he wants the team to be talked about. He loves headlines. So,
but you know what, though?
You know,
in my opinion, the T.O. thing worked for Dallas. Anything that was a failure for them at that point in time, what, in my opinion, wasn't T.O.'s fault. So that time it worked. But there are other times him wanting to do that has been a detriment to the Dallas Cowboys. You're absolutely correct about that. Him wanting to be the owner and GM at times has been a detriment to that organization, all because he wants to one-up Jimmy Johnson. So, yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is. But how about this crazy rumor? San Francisco. He goes to San Francisco with a swap with one Jimmy G, Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Now, that's crazy. I don't think San Fran would be that stupid because Jimmy G, his contract is so – I know that it can easily get from underneath his contract, but it's relatively cheap contract compared to what young quarterbacks are getting these days. So, unless he's young, and he's going to get better over time. This, mind you, this is only his first – this is his first full season. This past season was his first full season starting. He's going to get better. I mean, to me, you don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, right? So, do you think that's as crazy rumor as I think it is?
I do. And like I said before, you know, you're looking for a team that has a short window. This team doesn't necessarily have a short window. They have the opposite of that. If they can continue to play at this level, even though, first and foremost, you know, the curse of Super Bowl losers, they don't necessarily do too well. And in most cases, they don't necessarily make the playoffs the following year. But the thing is, this team is very young. They have a very young core on both sides of the ball, both offensively and defensively. You have a very young quarterback. You have young running backs. You have young receivers. You have a very young tight end in Kittle. You go ahead and throw in an old QB that's only going to be there for 2 years, you're not looking at long money. You're looking at short money, and you're looking to potentially hope to hit within that two-year frame. What happens if you don't hit within those 2 years? Then you're starting right back over again, not only attempting to try to find a new QB, but at the same time, within that two-year frame, attempting to re-sign the likes of Kittle, potentially Nick Bosa at the end of that two-year frame, and whomever else that's young and contract will be up in the next couple of seasons. So my guess is that if John Lynch is smart, he would not go after Tom Brady. He would probably he would stick to Jimmy G and just hope that he's developed and that team continues to stay on this trajectory.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm pretty sure Sanford is much smarter than that. They're not going to mortgage the 10 years out, maybe one or two with Brady. I mean, because it took San Fran this damn long to find a QB to succeed. Steve Young. Even though I thought that both Garcia, well, three things, both like three quarterbacks. Garcia, the guy who preceded Colin Kaepernick, who's in Houston, who's a skin,
Alex Smith.
Yeah. Like the last 3 years of his career in San Fran, when they actually got a competent coach, Jim Harbaugh, and then Colin Kaepernick. But it's slim pickings in between those years though for San Fran, so they'd be wise to hold on to him. And it's, especially they found a young QB who's affordable, who only will get better, after his first full season starting. He has a good supporting cast. Now what they need to do is re-sign Emmanuel Sanders. That's what they need to do. And also just continue to build around Deebo Samuels, too.
Mm-hmm. So they have a bright future. And, you know, barring bad health, those chips should be back in the mix for the next 4 to 5 years with Jimmy G. So they don't have to mortgage everything out to go after Tom Brady, by the way. I still think, and I didn't realize that the Tennessee's running back, his name
Derrick Henry.
Slips my mind. Derrick Henry. I didn't know that he was a free agent, though.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. Can they just franchise? I mean, you don't want to franchise. You don't want to play to be franchised, but they could. I don't know their salary cap situation off the top of my head, but I think they could get away with franchising him if they wanted to, couldn't they?
I think they might be. I am not completely sure with that as of this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's one of the things.
I
haven't necessarily heard too many people as of right now bring that up, but there's a possibility that might be the case. I am not sure. I'm not going to go ahead and say that they could actually do that as of right now. Yeah, I have to do a little bit more checking up on that first.
Yeah, because what I think should happen, regardless if they go out Brady or not, they shouldn't give Tannehill a multi-year contract. They should, at the very most, franchise him,
mm-hmm.
right? And they should be in a market. Well, the purpose there would be to franchise them and draft a quarterback. Either way,
mm-hmm.
I think Tennessee should draft a quarterback with a first pick. Because the future quarterback's not on the roster. I'm sorry. I know that Tannehill played well last year and good for him, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think he's term guy. That's just me. So I think they should focus on re-signing Henry to a multi-year, because he's done this 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Re-sign him to a multi-year contract and just get the hell out of the way and let Variable and Company go after Brady. But you know what, though? I have a sneaky feeling that he's going to stay his ass in New England. You know, I think because he knows the system. He knows the culture. They're comfortable there, even though he's sick of Belichick and Belichick's sick of him. I have a funny feeling he'll stay. Now, mind you, I'll say this. She's mentioned Indianapolis earlier. I don't think Giselle
mm-hmm.
is an Indianapolis kind of gal. That's just me.
No. No.
And I don't think she's a Tampa type of gal either. I think she's either an L.A. gal, which brings in the Chargers, which brings it to play the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And Nashville is a fun town. It's a very fun town. If you haven't been, you should go. It's a fun town. I've been there twice.
It's been a while since I've been to Nashville, yeah.
So she would love Nashville. I would think she would love Nashville. But nevertheless, I think the best football fits would be Tennessee and Indianapolis, but I think the best fit would be Indianapolis. I mean, I'm sorry, we'll be Tennessee, even though part of me thinks we're going to take his ass back to New England. So we'll get you out here on this, man. We have a little bit of time, so I just want to mention that we're going to freestyle for a quick moment.
Okay.
My New York Knicks. They've done it again. Not on the court. They took the way Spike Lee. Apparently, Spike Lee's been used to going through his interest for several seasons, right? And he's
mm-hmm.
a season ticket holder. He has 4 seats. He's a paying customer, even through the lean times. He's
mm-hmm.
been there. So this goes in. This follows a series of what the Knicks have been doing. By the Knicks, I mean James Dolan's dumbass. First, he antagonized the great Charles Oakley, and now
mm-hmm.
he's going after the beloved Spike Lee. What the fuck is happening with my New York Knicks, man? I just think that Adam Silver should pull his Don Sterling and just get Dolan's ass out of New York. Because when the Knicks are good, the NBA is a hell of a lot better. So
mm-hmm.
I know you told me on many occasions, dude, this could be worse. You could be a Wizards fan. But still, it's hard being a Knicks fan. It really is.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
is.
And, you know, of course, I always follow that up with, it's even harder being a Wizards fan. I actually went to the HBCU night a couple of weeks ago when the Cleveland Cavaliers were in town. So you can imagine how tough of a game that was to watch between the Wizards and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And actually sitting there watching the Wizards and trying to figure out, oh, my God, who was this in this lineup? But I digress. We're not talking about the Wizards. We're talking about the New York Knicks. Now, I don't know if you actually got an opportunity to watch the first take where Spike Lee was talking with Max Kellerman.
I want to see that. I want to see the clip of that, yeah.
Yes, he actually explains everything that happened in that situation. And, you know, it's weird, but I'll get to what he said in just a moment, because one of the things that was discussed and discussed briefly was, of course, leads to your point of what is going on with the Knicks. You know, didn't they just sign a new team president this past week too?
Yeah, Leon Rose.
Yeah. So with the addition of Rose, the addition also of Steve Stout, I can't remember what Stout's position is again, but he has something to do with helping rebrand the New York Knicks. But all of this new change that's going on, you can't blame Rose, because Rose was getting hired that day. But Steve Stout being there, of course, James Dolan, and just listening to Spike, it's more so Dolan than anybody else, right? But, God, I don't know what's going on with this organization that they're in such flux with all of the stuff that's been going on this season alone, not even talking about the Charles Oakley incident, the fact that key free agents don't want to go there and play, you know, just a bunch of stuff. But Spike was on ESPN yesterday, and he explained his side of the story. He basically said that, you know, he was going through the employees' entrance, the same entrance that he has been going through for the past 28 years of having season tickets for the Knicks. And so he gets into the elevator, and and it's something I didn't know, but I'll get to that in just a moment in terms of the garden. You have to actually go up an elevator in order to get to the arena. But he's waiting in that elevator, and they don't want him to go up because, of course, the security has been told, apparently by James Dolan, not to let Spike in through that entrance. For whatever reason, Spike still doesn't know. Spike's like, you know what? No, I'm not going anywhere. So they let him up. They get to the fifth floor where the arena is. But there's still complications with security. They don't want him to go through that entrance. He has to go that entrance, which is the 33rd Street entrance, according to Spike. They said they wanted him to go to the 31st Street entrance. So that means they wanted him to leave the arena after his ticket had already been scanned. Now, mind you, and I know this, of course, from just coming from a game this past couple of weeks ago. Once your ticket is scanned, you cannot leave the arena and re-enter the arena.
That's
something that they wanted him to do. But, you know, depending upon if he was with security, they probably would have walked him in. But I understood his point. He's like, dude, I'm not going out the arena just to potentially be told, no, I can't get back in the arena. I'm already here. Just let me in. But they said that, you know, they walked him through another way. He did that, and he acquiesced and sat through at ringside, well, not ringside, but courtside. And at halftime, James Dolan walked up to him and said, we need to talk. He's like, what do we need to talk about? He said, well, you know, the whole situation that happened is talking about a new policy. And Spike, who has a legitimate gripe, was complaining that if there is a new policy, one, why wasn't he informed of the policy? Well, one, when he first got there. Two, oddly enough, he was just there a couple of nights earlier. They had a live performance of To Kill a Mockingbird for a bunch of high school students there at the Garden. Spike said he was just there that day and went through that same entrance, and no one said anything to him then.
Yeah. They should do a good lead that James Dolan's full of shit. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, where are we now? We're, what, game number 60 what at this point in the season? However, wherever we are, this is a new policy. Why don't you inform him that it's a new policy? You know, he probably would be a little bit more understanding. But to thrust this effort, why don't you tell him before he gets to the arena? That would be the
right way,
in my opinion, to let him know, not to just thrust it upon him when he's there. No, that's not how that – I will be upset, too. I will be highly upset, too. According to Mr. Lee, there was a lot of spin going on in terms of Knicks PR to make it seem like, you know, the Knicks weren't the aggressor in this situation and that the situation was peacefully resolved. So I said, no, that's not how it happened. I'll let you go ahead and watch the interview. He breaks it all down and talks about it. And, of course, he's highly, highly agitated about this. He said he's not going to any more Knicks games for the rest of the season. And I understand. But, yeah, this entire thing, who does this to a fan who's been coming for 28 straight years? 28 straight years. And has fandom rooted within him. That's not how you keep fans. And free agents see that, and they're like, yo, why do I want to go play there? If that's how they're treating, if that's how they're treating their legends, if that's how they're treating their super fans, why do I need to go? What's the point? So, you know, if Steve Stout's job is to come in and help revitalize his brand, this dude failing at his job already.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I said, man, it's hard being a Knicks fan. Unless Adam Silver pulls, again, a Dawn Stern and get Dawn the hell out of there, or maybe the investors force Dawn to sell, or just people stop coming to games, it's just never going to change. Because free agents are not going there now. They're not going in there because they don't want to deal with Dawn. They don't want to deal with the dysfunction. So, I mean, all they can do now is hope and pray that they draft well. And who the hell knows how that's going to turn out. But anyway, I'm just – anyway, I got to stop and get depressed. Man, okay, man.
But you know what? But not to depress you anymore, but even if they draft well, you still have to retain these players.
Right.
That's the thing. You could draft them as much as you want. The way free agency looks, man, these guys – will jump ship if it ain't comfortable for them.
Well, I'm damn sure about to jump ship to the Nets. So if I ever do that, please shoot me because I would have lost my damn mind. Hey, man, we'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Yes, shout out to the homie Thomas Snacks Lee from Jackson State.
Yes.
He is the basketball assistant up there. My man got a chance to play this past week, man, and he's been getting all kind of love. Shout out to him, man. He's living his best life. That's what college athletics is supposed to be about. Fun. And that's
the Black Pillsbury Doughboy. Google him. YouTube him. The Black Pillsbury Doughboy. That's what we're calling him. All that, man. That's my guy, the way, man. We check him out on the yards. That's HBCU Sports. Everybody has dressed for all things HBCU Sports, as well as Sleazy Radio every Tuesday night on Facebook Live. Thank y'all for tuning in. This is the Clown Hour. This is your boy, Scott Burks, signing out.